Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome to Robin Walter's show. This is the program that takes no prisoners. We don't do that. We try to reveal the uncompromised Word of God as it applies to everyday life. Everyday life. The Bible is rich in truth, and it is rich in prescriptive advice, meaning this is what you don't do and this is what you need to do. And that's what we're about. This is a program where I try to bring to you only two kinds of news. A, something that you'll never hear on the mainstream media because it involves the application of particular scripture, or B, something that does not have application to scripture per se or directly. It's my own comment, but it's a comment that in good faith I have not heard said on other media forums, and which may well have been said, I just wouldn't know about it. So I feel like it needs to be shared. All right. We start with good news. We end with some really good news today. I have some encouragement, but the name of this program, when you look it up on a podcast, is going to be labeled "The Real Pandemic is Fear." That is the real pandemic. It isn't COVID. COVID is not the real pandemic. The real pandemic is fear. But before I go any further, I would like to ask the listeners to encourage other people to hear this program. Not because I'm trying to enhance the solicitations. I have always supported most of the cost of this. I keep working so that after I pay my tax dollars, I have some entertainment money, and my entertainment money goes directly into this program. No problem. It's the ministry I've been called to. But encourage others to listen to this. Send along to them, whether it's the website, robinwalter.net, where the program can be downloaded, or easier, the podcast, which has started very, very slowly. Does it continue to pick up? Yes, it does. And I thank God for that. But it's a slow climb. I just, in the interest of the shortness of time, I'd like to accelerate the expansion of the program for that singular reason, that there's just news people need to hear that I don't think it's going to be heard on most other stations or venues. I hope it is, actually. I actually hope I'm not the only one. And I know that I'm not, as to a lot of things I say. Some things are unique that I feel like God has given me, and otherwise I wouldn't be here. So do that. The podcasts are easy to pick up. If you got an iPhone or whatever, Samsung, you type in The Robin Walter Show. The Robin Walter Show. Under your podcast icon. If you happen to be on rumble.com, then it's going to be, you delete the. It's just Robin Walter Show, and it's all without any spaces or anything of that sort. So it's just kind of like you were typing in an email address. There's no spaces in there. Now, as they would say on Looney Tunes, on with the show. Well, this first piece, and I'm going to talk about some different things today. Ultimately, it's about the pandemic being the real fear, but we are going to cover some things on the Virginia election. Not a lot, because I don't have a lot to say that is different than what's already been said. But I do have a few things, and I think that they're important. But I want to launch with one interesting piece which thrills me to no end. And this is a guy, he's Republican. He was running for the New Jersey State Senate District 3. Okay, overwhelmingly Democrat. In fact, so overwhelmingly Democrat that the incumbent is the state, New Jersey State Senate President, Steve Sweeney. So Sweeney lost. And the Republican that beat him, Edward Durr, is a truck driver. I love this piece so much. He's a, what was that old Bird song, a drugstore truck driving man? No, he's not that. He's not that. But anyway, he's a trucker. Nothing against truckers. It seems like I drove a gazillion miles over the last 10 days, and I saw many a trucker and engaged with a bunch of them. And by and large, they're good people. But he defeated the state Senate President Steve Sweeney by over 2,000 votes, which is 4% of the total votes. That'd be like 52 to 48 is how he beat him. I mean, it's just, this blows me away. And there's a reporting requirement that I guess you don't have to report who gave you what if your total expenditures are under $10,000. So one news story said that he didn't even spend $10,000. Well, he didn't. What he did spend, $153. $153. He went door to door. He tapped into people's discontent. This guy made no statement or declaration as to his faith. This is just an ordinary Joe who got upset enough, who decided to run probably on his way up or down some elevator, or getting, in this case, more or less getting in or out of his truck. And he said, the main issue here were rights. I'm quoting him. People talk about how New Jersey has the highest taxes and we're the worst state for business with high debt and so on. But the bottom line is rights. It's about family. When somebody's messing with your family, you'll do anything. The governor was messing with people's families. When you mess with somebody's job, their livelihood, their home, their children, their family, people just won't take that. End quote. That was his campaign message. Don't mess with our families. He went door to door. He did have a Facebook page, but that was free. It was the only advertising he did. $153 is what he spent. And is this some Christian out there fulfilling his... No, this is just a trucker. You got to love these stories where some guy at $153 going door to door beats the state Senate president by 4%. What an absolute shock and thrill. My hat's off to you, Ed Durr. D-U-R-R. And look it up, read about him. It's a great story. It sort of gives you some hope, doesn't it? Well, and then touching also on the good news, this is this Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, the first black woman elected to a Virginia statewide office, who gets elected next to the first Attorney General, first Hispanic to be elected to statewide office in Virginia. This is an answer to prayer. And it's an answer to, my prayer request. For those of you who have listened to this program for any measure of time, and some of you go back 10 to 12 years, you have heard me say probably ad nauseum that if this country is going to be turned around, if this country is going to be saved, it's going to be because of articulate, concerned, conservative blacks and Hispanics. I have said this so many times. And the event that launched that thought was the 2008 election, 13 years ago, where California outlawed queer marriage. Left of your whites, left of the Anglos, that would have failed. But California outlawed queer marriage because of blacks and Hispanics that had a higher attachment to family values and a sense of white, what's right and wrong, as opposed to your average white guy. That's just the way it was. I mean, people, I love it when people are encouraged to run for office when they aren't afraid of the consequences. This guy's going to say, well, you know, am I going to lose my job as a trucker, Ed Durr? Well, no. No, he didn't lose his job as a trucker. Probably because most of the trucking companies take Covenant Transportation. God-fearing company out of, I think, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Great trucking company. It's one of the few stocks I own. Don't own many. But this was just, this was an amazing night from that sense. And I, what I find amazing is that the left insists that the reason McAuliffe lost and that Youngkin won was because the voters are racist. It's the same old crapola. And of course, all the racists and fascists are in the Democratic Party. But in order for that statement to be, this is how absurd the Democrat line is. This is how absurd the mainstream media has to get to try to double down, triple down, quadruple down on their thing that everything on the right is wrong and everything on the left is honorable. In order for this to be the result of a racist vote, as a according to what they would say, this is what would have had to have happened. All the Republicans, who according to the mainstream media are racist, would have had to vote for Terry McAuliffe and the others downline who are all white because they're supposedly racist, right? And that would mean then that the reason that the Hispanic AG won and the black lieutenant governor won was because all the Democrats who aren't racist voted Republican to show that they aren't racist. This is how utterly ludicrous the depth of depravity and stupidity that have become the hallmark and defining characteristics of the left. It is so absurd. Well, lest I forget, I got to interject something. That's it. We're going to transition here, but I've got to put something else in here. I would like a prayer request. I have a prayer request for my listeners as it relates to me. I do this very seldom, but I do it on occasion when something big is coming up. I have had people slightly but incrementally, increasingly encouraging me to run for political office. Now, I've done this before, as I've shared. I've run for, I think, 5 different races. I ran for the Michigan House of Representatives. I ran for a county commissioner in Michigan. I ran for the San Diego County School Board. I ran for the Vista County School Board. And I've run for the California Assembly. 5 races post-high school, lost every single one of them. Now, I was in the wrong party. Before I became Christian, I ran as a Democrat for the Michigan House of Representatives in a strongly Republican area. And I actually accepted the Lord. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior after I won the Democratic primary, but before the general election. And I prayed, God, I don't believe anything that I was saying just 2 weeks ago. What do I do now? Have me get defeated because I don't want to look like a stealth candidate. Have me get defeated. God answered that prayer. I got absolutely annihilated. I got creamed. But since then, in the 4 races where I was an ardent conservative, I've always been in left-wing areas and have lost. But I had a message, and God called me to run, and that whether I won or lost ultimately didn't really matter. I was called to run because there were things that I had to say. Now, I'm not going to finish this before the break, so please come back after the break here in a minute because I want your prayers. I really need your prayers for some guidance. Some have encouraged me to run for the U.S. House of Representatives. I have no intention whatsoever of doing that. The only thing I would consider is the Arizona House of Representatives, but not the U.S. House. And the reasons are actually severalfold, which I'm looking at my little meter here. I'm not going to be able to fit in before the break. But there are people. It doesn't need to be somebody like myself running for office. There just need to be the Edward Durs out there. The truckers. You truckers that are listening to this, consider running for political office. Yeah, I mean it. All right, don't go away, Robin Walter. Robin Walter Show will be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Just take those old records off the shelf. I sit and listen to them by myself. Today's music ain't got the same soul. I like that old time of rock and roll. Don't try to take me to a disco. You'll never even get me out on the floor.
We are back, the Robin Walter Show. I was mentioning before the break that I've had a prayer request, and that is for direction as to whether I should run for political office. I've ruled out the United States House, U.S. House. I don't want to do that, not just because I don't want to go to D.C., which I sort of don't want to. But let me just, there are four things. I've got to move through them quickly because I've got so much to cover on today's program. The ideas that I have are all state-based ideas, not federal. They're state-based ideas. I shared briefly one before on the program, but I'll just give you an example. At a state level, and you could never get this through at the federal level, but the states will set the example. Just look at DeSantis and Abbott. This is why Biden wants to rub them out so badly and employs the left-wing media, which is just an arm of the Democrat Party, the media, to disgrace and denigrate them, marginalize them, because they're causing problems. The problems can be caused and changed at the state level to impact the federal level as the pushback. There's more impact here. And as an example I gave was, I would propose a law that if an employer mandates the vaccine, while the individual can collect workers' compensation if they're injured or they die from the vaccine, that the workers' compensation rules as presently drafted don't apply. And in fact, what would happen is that an employee can sue an employer when the employer is engaged in reckless and grossly negligent behavior. Then the limitations of workers' comp come off, and the employee can sue the employer. So that if based on a preponderance of the evidence, more likely than not, the individual had his medical damages, medical expenses, or death as a result of the vaccine, then they would collect a minimum of $10 million in the case of death, or 10 times the amount of medical damages if the party lived. Way, way, way higher than the severe limits put upon collectability against an employer for workers' comp. What does this do? It will force the employers to now just not be listening to just Joe Biden's mandate, which isn't a mandate. Joe has no authority to mandate the vaccine. None whatsoever. Not Jack. Authority. He's got nothing. So the employer could say, well, I can listen to this mandate, which isn't really a mandate because he has no authority, or I can follow state law, actual law. No, we're not going to mandate vaccines because I don't want to pay $10 million for every employee I kill, or 10 times the special damages, which would be medical primarily, if the party gets injured as a result of the vaccine, but lives. You see, Biden is using employers as the goon squad for his unchristian, anti-constitutional directives. Joe doesn't give executive orders. He emits executive orders. But now, with state law on your side, these employers are going to say, wait, I don't think this is me. I'll go stick it, Joe. Just go stick it where the sun doesn't shine. I'm not going to get sued for these huge amounts of potential dollars because I followed your stupid, stinking, no authority-based mandate and killed or damn badly injured one of my employees. You see, this can be done at the state level. And done at the state level, it sets an example for other states. This is why other states are listening and watching what Abbott's doing and DeSantis are doing. And now I have no idea that this actually happened because of something I did, but I'll throw it out there. It's possible. And this is a difference between state and federal. I could write to a congressman, nothing happens because they're in the wrong party. I mean, Republicans can't make anything happen. But I contacted Governor Abbott's office, or tried to. I couldn't speak with him or any of his people about something that had to be conveyed dealing with the illegal immigration and the invasion on the Texas border. And so I got a hold of a state representative, state House of Representatives from Fredericksburg, Texas. Great town, great man. Very close to the administration, got a hold of him. I said, here's a message. Can you please get this to the governor's office? Tell them and his aides and his attorneys to read the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10. The governor has the authority to take immediate action to an invasion which will not, quote, admit of delay, end quote. Meaning, who gives a rat's rear end whether what the Ninth or whatever the circuit is? I think it's the Fifth Circuit for Texas. I forgot. But what they say, or the Supreme Court says, they're not going to come back and say, oh, yeah, you're right. That was an emergency that would not admit of delay or permit delay 10 months ago. Well, the damage is already done. The governor, in a case of an invasion, does not need any authority or approval from anybody else. And if they try to shut it down, that governor can tell them where to shove it. Governor Abbott has that authority to deal with an invasion without any consultation with federal officials, Border Patrol, nothing. All Texas or all Arizona. That's why I said share with them. It's that important. That was 2 months ago. This last week, somebody from Abbott's office says that they're looking into Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution. Do I know that what I shared was what got to them, which is why they are looking at what the Constitution says that the states have a right to do? You see, the feds aren't doing their job purposely. It's intentional if they let in 1.3 million aliens, want to give them a vote, and then $450,000 each in reparations. Goodness sakes, that makes me want to run to a window and barf. But at the state level, things can be changed. And yes, you listen to last week's program, I think it ends up with secession. But so be it. I'd rather leave a good party early than hang around with a bad party. You know, you get up and get gone. But I don't know that this, what I said, made it there, or if what I said having made it there was the influence, but it very possibly was. That is at the state level. Well, the state house in Arizona is a 4-month job. January to April. What a concept. Legislators who only serve part-time and then they have to go back home to their real job and work underneath the laws and accordance to the laws that they passed. What a concept. Nobody does that in the U.S. House or Senate, right? They pass laws. They exempted themselves from Obamacare. They get special perks and privileges. They don't have to take the jab. They don't have to take the shots. No. They don't have to do any of that crap because they are the elite. They don't have to live under their own laws. The first biggest mistake with Obamacare was, and they found a way to exempt themselves from the crappy plan otherwise known as Obamacare. They're not subject to it because they are special. Not so in Arizona. 4 months, I think you get paid $20,000 a year or something. Then you got to go get a real job, another job, and live under the laws. I love that concept. The impact is huge. But the last thing I just want to say is that I could keep the Robin Walters show as a representative in Arizona. I could not keep it as a House rep in the U.S. Congress. Could not do that. I serve as a judge pro tem in Arizona. I mean, part-time judge. I'm there when another judge can't serve. Last thing I did was a few weeks ago was a wedding as a justice, stand-in justice of the peace. I had fun. Found out the two people were Christians. I threw away the state-prescribed script and ran with it on my own. I'm sure you're not surprised that I did that. Well, the point here is, as a judge part-time, a substitute, a pro tem judge in Arizona, I can keep my radio program. If I don't want to be a judge full-time, while I think I could be a good judge full-time, I would have to surrender this radio program. And this program has far more influence wherever it goes, and it keeps growing, than I would ever have as a standalone judge in Arizona. So for that, I desire and request your prayers, big time, as to what every other thing I do. I got gun rights ideas, even though Arizona is the best state for guns in the United States. Of all 50, Arizona is the best, no question about it. Not even close anymore. But it can yet be improved and be an encouragement. You see, it's the states that are going to show the feds something. The states seceding will teach the feds something, just like DeSantis is not bowing down and Abbott. And Arizona needs to not bow down, and some other states can force some changes at the federal level, and in the process be freeing ourselves from federal intervention, all while preparing to get up and leave when that day becomes necessary. Okay? So, I'm sorry it took so long, but that was important. The real pandemic is fear. It's just a tool of the left as they gaslight everybody in the country. I mean, they start with marginalization, and then they move to isolation. Well, you can't do this, you can't do that. Intimidation, and ultimately, subjugation. That's what it's all about. Obamacare wasn't about health care. It was about control. After all, Hitler's first move was to have national health care. You control people's health options. You control the people. It's demonic. It's all Satan ever wanted was control, right? It comes from the same source. Gun control isn't about gun violence. It's about controlling the means by which we have to defend ourselves, which means that we are not under direct control of a federal government. You see, when the government is controlled, the people have tyranny. When the people are in control, the government is afraid. The government becomes the servant, which it is supposed to be. When tyranny becomes law, revolution becomes duty, as we shared last week. But it goes from marginalization to isolation to intimidation to subjugation. It's universal, whether it's coming from employers, whether it's coming from universities. They're all left-wing run companies. But they're fundamentally running on fear. This is the pandemic among people, among parents who are willing to now stick their children with a jab at 5 or 6 years old, which I consider to be child neglect, child abuse, and child endangerment. Shouldn't even have your children if you're going to go stick them with an experimental drug. Should give them go into foster care would be better than to have parents giving their young kids this unproven experimental drugs, which we've covered in great detail. But having gotten away with it at the adult level, they now consider that all humanity is Pfizer's lab. And the humans, the people, are the lab rats. And now they're expanding their lab rat population because it means money for stinking, stupid, pit of hell Pfizer and Moderna. They just get to experiment. Like this country company, I can't think of his name, Quixtec or something like this from the UK, was announced that they're looking to experiment in California with a genetically engineered mosquito and release billions of mosquitoes into 12 undisclosed counties as of yet in an attempt as an experiment to counteract the diseases borne by native mosquitoes. Oh, gee, what could possibly go wrong with billions of genetically engineered mosquitoes? I want to look up this company to see if maybe it just might be owned as a wholly owned subsidiary of Pfizer or Moderna. They're into experimenting with humans as lab rats. But it's fear. It's in Hollywood, it's a fear of what their peers will say. In business, it's a fear of not getting federal contracts. Among parents, it's fear just because all the lemmings around them are fearful. Now, when you push, and interestingly, it was less the jab that ticked off voters in Virginia and more the critical race theory and the experimenting with the kids in the classroom. And I'm thrilled about those results, but I don't think those results are predictive of what's to come, and I will cover that if we have time. And to prove to you how much the left wants to control you, the CDC changed the definition of vaccine. And why? Control. They fear people getting out of control and thinking for themselves and not having the vaccine for their kids because it's not really a vaccine. Okay, let me just give you the old definition of vaccine. A product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease, protecting the person from that specific disease. It's now a preparation. It's no longer a product. It's a preparation that's used to stimulate the body's immune response generally against diseases. You see, they're not putting in a little bit of the measles vaccine, measles, for the body to then develop the antibodies to measles, so when it hits in bigger measure, it's already built up. That's not what we're doing anymore. But what happened was everybody was pointing out the fact that this isn't a real vaccine. Pfizer and Moderna utilize a messenger RNA technology, but all three COVID-19 vaccines authorized for use in the United States have plummeted in their effectiveness against the infection against being promoted originally by being fail-safe by Joe No Brains, I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden, and everybody else as part of the left-wing mob. And you can go right on down the line here because they know it really doesn't work. They know it doesn't protect you from getting it, from passing it, from dying it. We got people dying all over the place and being hospitalized after having had the vaccine, catching the dreaded pandemic disease called COVID-19. So how are they dealing with all the people that have gotten riled up because this isn't a real vaccine? Easy. The CDC simply changed the definition of the word vaccine. Voila! It's no longer a vaccine. I mean, it's now a vaccine. It's no longer, you can no longer use that argument that it's not a vaccine because now it's a vaccine. How do you get rid of the drug problem, so to speak? I mean, of incarceration for drugs? Voila, just legalize the drugs. No problem anymore. We don't have to employ any police officers because it's all legal. Just change the definition. They do it all the time. And the boosters, what a bunch of nonsense. I want to tell you something here. I'm not a doctor. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I'm not the dumbest guy in the world. But this is just like the flu. The boosters are going to be useless because they're, even if it were any good, which it isn't, the vaccines, loosely so-called, now that they've changed the definition, it's the same thing. They're giving you the same thing. Now, I'm sure a bunch of you go get flu shots. Do you know the flu shots you get this year, if you're getting one, is not the same flu shots you got a couple years ago? Why? Because the flus mutate and they adjust the vaccine to deal with the changed circumstances of the mutation. That's not what's happening here. They're one-trick ponies. All they got is a hammer and everything they see is a nail. they're giving you more of the same thing. It would be like giving you a flu shot today that was only good for what the flu was in 2018. That's why they're going to be useless. Gazillions of people who take the jab are just going to be thinking that they're safe, and they are not. This is a variation of the flu. And then for kids, oh my gosh, you know what? I better not even get started on this. I got probably 20 minutes that just deals with giving kids the jab, and I'm going to have to pass on it, or I won't finish what needs to be finished here today. Go get ivermectin. Give it a shot. Get a prescription for it. High levels of vitamin D, C, and zinc. Those things have been helping people, turning around diseases. I got a testimonial letter from a listener in Idaho this week. I was 83-year-old mother and 85-year-old stepdad. Though they got ill with COVID, they were turned around, and they're both out of the hospital. One's out of hospice by virtue of ivermectin, monoclonal additives, vitamin D, zinc. I'm sorry, I was going to say potassium, but zinc. See, Pfizer and Moderna can't make a dime on ivermectin. People say that's a horse medication. Well, you know what? There are some applications that ivermectin has historically been applied to as it relates to humans. But here's the deal. With ivermectin, the horses lived. With Moderna, the rats died. Or the rats had localized results around the ovaries of the rats, resulting in birth defects, miscarriages, stillbirths. They don't have any successful test results. And now they want to use your children as lab rats? 27% of the people said they can hardly wait to give their 5-year-olds the shot. Why? Sterilize your daughters because it localizes around the ovaries and now they can't have children? Are there conspiracy theories around Bill Gates no longer theories? They really are conspiracies. He does want to reduce the population of the United States because he's an elite and he gets to live, but others need to die. I got to tell you, do not let your kids or grandchildren get this shot. And if it's what they got to do to go to some stupid, stinking government school, yank them out. Give them a treat. Give them a benefit. Give them a leg up. Homeschool them. Put them in a Christian school. If the Christian school falters, change Christian schools. Because people are running on the basis of fear. It says that in the end times, the love of many will grow cold. Yeah, there's greed. I see it. But greed has its roots in fear. Greed has its roots in a fear, because fear is rooted in the belief that God cannot and will not provide for you, cannot, will not protect you. But fear is rooted in a very, very low belief in God, or that he actually loves us and will care for us and protect us. One of the women involved in treating this 83 and 85-year-old couple that both had COVID, people said she was nuts for wearing a mask. She said, I'm not wearing this stupid mask. I got protection. I got natural immunity. I got a God-given protection. And if you could show some proof that this alleged vaccine actually even remotely accomplished what it's supposed to, then yes, maybe you would go ahead and you take the vaccine like you would take measles or mumps or chickenpox vaccines, none of which I've had, none of which I ever got. I don't know. Maybe I've got that God-given immunity. I hope so. But you see, we have this, we have all these things that are just so rooted in fear. The doctor who basically, this is another listener, told me that a doctor basically shredded him because his wife was admitted for COVID, but shredded him because he didn't get the stinking vaccine. And then points out, well, hey, doctor, you know you take in an HIV patient who obviously, because they're out there fisting each other or something, they did it to themselves, didn't take precautions. Why don't you beat them up? Why don't you beat up the person who weighs 350 pounds who's diabetic and who comes in? Because all of the things that were the comorbidities that dealt with that person were all avoidable. Why don't you beat them up? Well, because there was nothing for the fear. You see, that doctor, it wasn't a case where the doctor wasn't going to get paid if he didn't find a positive COVID test result. No, they get paid off. Money, fear of losing job, fear of my son works for an aerospace. Aerospace has federal contracts. The feds say you get the jab or you lose a contract. Fear of losing the contract drives a behavior. And then there's just all those people who somehow think the masses can't be wrong. Well, like Jefferson said, the majority rules and they're usually wrong. It's the masses you don't want to follow. Hey, isn't it many? Isn't it wide as the gate and many who pass through it leads to death, but narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life? The majority has virtually never been right. God doesn't work the majorities that way because people get the glory then. Whether it was Jonathan and his armor bearer, whether it was David and Goliath, whether it was Gideon and his 300 men. That's never changed and it never will. The world is filled with lemmings. Most of the world just goes is going to go to hell. That's just kind of the way that it is. Maybe a great outpouring at the very end. Well, there will be. Does that mean the majority? I don't know. But it hasn't been the history of mankind. But people follow their fear. People are moved more by fear. And you only got two ways to get moved, is by fear or faith. And why? Well, because most people don't have faith. Well, that means you fall back into the fear department. You see, we don't have herd immunity in this country. We have herd mentality. I can't even tell you the business dealings I've been involved with where the business people, some of them Christian, some of them testimonies from listeners to this program, some of them from clients of mine, where they're dealing with people, otherwise good people, Christians, who have reneged on their promises. They've broken contracts. They are so fearful, and we haven't even entered into the tough times yet. And here's the ultimate irony that just drives me crazy. That there are a good number of the people who are fearful and are acting on their fears are Christians, as opposed to a whole bunch of people who just won't put up with the garbage. They're independent. They're not going to just have the government tell them what to do. They got no faith in Jesus Christ. They don't like to be pushed around. Those are the ones who seem to be disproportionately doing the right thing and pushing back. And yeah, you got some special Christians in between who they do both. They push back. They stand up. They sit tall in the saddle. They don't care how many people get up and walk out of their congregation meetings and out of church. They're going to say what needs to be said and preach what needs to be preached, regardless of the outcome. Because they know that fear is rooted in the belief that God cannot and will not provide. Well, I want to come back to this topic, but I want to fit in one other thing dealing with the Virginia election results. And I want to round up this program on some positive things as it deals with fear. But like I said, on the Virginia election, I don't have a lot to add except a few insights that I haven't heard. Doesn't mean they haven't been said. I just haven't heard them. And maybe a biblical application or so. But I don't want people to get too carried away with the Virginia election results. I'm thrilled. I am very, very thrilled. But I'm reading everywhere from all sorts of readers or writers, get ready for the red wave in 2022. It's going to be a red tsunami in 2022. That this event marks a tidal wave shift in electoral politics. And stand back, because the right is coming back. I don't think we can count on that. I will tell you why in just a minute.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
We are back. Okay, this is a real quick shot at the Virginia elections. Don't get carried away because I'm seeing all sorts of stuff. Red wave coming. Republican tsunami 2022. Everybody is writing about it. I think we're jumping the gun for a couple of reasons. I want to start here. First of all, in a number of states, all blue states, they have now passed laws that will legalize things that will almost ensure Democratic victory, such as the legalization of ballot harvesting and so forth. Now, this is just part of the growing divide between red states and blue states. Now, there are states that are opposing that, like Florida and Texas, and those states will remain red, but they may well remain in the national scale of things in the minority. It just means they're getting queued up to secede, leave this union, and do things the way that they need to do it. But a lot of states have institutionalized the very mechanisms by way of legislation, California and New York, that which will enable and ensure the Democrats to stay in office. Now, there are going to be a few states that I think could be changed in this process. Is Virginia a permanently red state? I don't think so. Some of these things are pretty short-lived. I just have to wait and see. Is voter fraud all done? Of course not. It's just been legalized in places. And I want to tell you, while I can't say whether there was or wasn't voter fraud in Virginia, there probably was. The Democrats lie, cheat, steal. That's just kind of part of their DNA. But who are the ones that are always claiming there's voter suppression? Democrats. Was there voter suppression here? Yes, absolutely. Proof? Among the people who do not wear masks, they are disproportionately conservative, disproportionately Republican. There is no mask mandate for the state of Virginia at the polls. And yet, many polls interfered with and prohibited people from voting that weren't wearing masks. Voter fraud? No. Voter suppression? Absolutely. And where is the voter suppression coming from? The left, the ones who always do what they accuse others of doing. And most importantly, and I got to move on here, most importantly, remember 2010, Obamacare, 2009, 2010, we had the Tea Party Revolution. Everything was going to change. Republicans took over the House. What changed? Nothing. We still have crappy Obamacare today. Not because they didn't do their job, but they couldn't. It was short-lived, the enthusiasm against it. We end up with a few things that whittled back and cut back on Obamacare. But you see, people say it's a pendulum. And yes, it is a pendulum of sorts. And that is that it's a pendulum which, you know, people say, well, you know, it's going to swing back. Well, yes, it can swing back. But the whole problem is the whole clock is getting shifted incrementally to the left. It never swings back as far as it swung out. So when it goes left wildly, it may come back, but it's the end point is always somewhere to the left of where it was before that pendulum shifted. I'm not going to be able to finish this program. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to do another podcast right after this. To fill people in on everything else that I can't fit in here. Because I got to finish the thing on fear. But I need to make this point as this clock. I've got a great old grandfather clock. It was my grandfather's grandfather clock that came from the Netherlands. And I had a venerable clockmaker and repairman look at it the other day. And he's been in the business for 50 years. He knows clocks. He is the mentor of other clock repair people. He's Dutch. He comes from the old country. He looked at the clock and he said, "Oh my gosh, this clock is only the second clock I've seen in 45 or 50 years. It has an interesting imprint on its workings. The Star of David." Yeah, that means that back before World War II, my clock was probably made by a Jewish clockmaker in the Netherlands. But he said something very interesting that made political sense to me, though he had no political intent. He said, when you hear a clock that goes tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock, that's balanced. That's a pendulum that comes back to rest in the middle. But he said, if you hear a clock that goes tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock, the ticks are not balanced. That means the clock is not balanced. We have an unbalanced clock in this country. And it's not coming back to where it was. It didn't after the Tea Party thing. Hey, well, you know what? I'm going to try to fit this in. I don't want to do a whole nother podcast. Why do we not fear? Why should we not fear? It says perfect love casts out fear in Scripture. We don't have perfect love, or I would never be fearful. But I'm working on it. But we have a Heavenly Father who's perfect in love. His care is ever there. It's always there. He knows what we can handle. He knows what we need. Are we being tested and tried? Probably. But to what end? So that we can be prepared for yet a bigger test and a bigger trial down the road. What we're going through now is just a test and a trial. You know, the word, the phrase, fear not, or be thou not afraid, or something akin to that, doesn't show up in Scripture 365 times like some people said, but it does show up between 80 and 90 times in Scripture. And one in particular in the book of Joshua. Joshua, man, that fought the Battle of Jericho. Brave, he was one of the two faithful spies, right? Well, he was with a really faithful guy by the name of Caleb. But why in the beginning of Joshua, when he takes over for Moses, does God say, fear not? And then a few verses down, he says, fear not. And a little bit later, he says, fear not. And a little bit later, he says, fear not. Why? Because Joshua was fearful. It's throughout Scripture, whether it's the Psalms, whether it's in the New Testament, where Jesus says in Matthew 10:28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Whoa. We have no reason to fear what the enemy can do to us. Don't fear him who can kill us in the flesh. It's no big deal, ultimately. It's an early reward. It's a quick promotion. You see, Joshua was told many times to fear not, because why? He had fear. It's why these passages show up throughout Scripture. And every time you get fearful, here's what you do. You do what this couple did that was caring for their mother and stepdad up in Idaho. They prayed. They prayed that God would heal them, but they acted on faith, and then they began to thank him for the healing. They didn't even keep praying. They just thanked him for the healing, had others pray. But thank God for the healing. If you're waiting so to the point where you feel like you aren't fearful anymore, you won't get there. The feelings aren't it. If you pray, God, take this fear from me, and then thank him for taking the fear from you. Thank him. And you will find then, after you have thanked him for that which he has provided, but you're just not feeling it, you will begin to no longer feel the fear. You'll grow up in the faith a little, another notch. So that when they come for you or they come for your children, you're going to be able to stand up and fairly calmly respond, say what you will, do what you want. Tell me to bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. We're not going to do it. We're not, no way, Nebi. We're not going to do it because our God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, just know this. We're not going to do it. Too bad. Go look for another sucker, another victim, another lemming. Because we're not. Do not fear in this. I have something I so badly wanted to share with you. I'm just going to have to launch the next program with it. I carve out more than I can get out. But the point here is our pandemic in this country is fear. Now, it's rampant among most non-believers, excepting some of those like maybe this truck driver who just said, hey, screw it, kind of is his attitude. I'm not doing this. Quit messing with my family. Had nothing to do necessarily with a God-given responsibility. He knows innately that you don't mess with my family or I'm going to fight back. It wasn't even rooted in something Christian. But I don't like the idea that I'm hearing so many Christians be fearful for who might they offend. They don't want their friends to not like them. Hey, I got a good friend who took the jab because all of his golfing buddies said it's safe. Go do it. He took the jab. A couple days later, he's dead. Do not fear. Fear not. Read the book of Joshua. Sit tall in the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.